This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Trader Nick in the United States. Good afternoon from London. Nick, how are you doing?
Hey, Johnny. I'm good. Good to be back with you.
Well, Nick, let's first start with the latest UK retail sales numbers. And it showed a bounce back following what was the warmest June on record.
Yes. So this morning we did get UK retail sales, which came in a little bit worse than expected. You can see the month over month reading here was forecasted to be 1.2%. And instead we actually got a 0.9% growth in retail sales. So some slower than expected data here. Overall, again, the UK has been the British pound has been performing really well against the US dollar. But recently we have seen a little bit of a slowdown in that momentum, perhaps largely due to some of the economic data that we've recently had. If we take a look at the UK kind of data as a whole right now, this week, we had some PMI data, which came in a little bit mixed. We had services PMIs for the UK came in slightly better than expected. And then if we take a look at, of course, the retail sales number today, it was a little bit worse than expected. Overall, the inflation story in the UK is still a work in progress. They have inflation higher than some of their peers, like, for example, in Europe, which is near that 2% target rate. And of course, the US hovering around a 2.7% CPI number. So we do see inflation overall in the UK remaining to be a bit sticky and does put a cap on rate cuts in the time being for the UK, which is a challenge for pound bears, of course, because if the British pound sees down the pipeline less rate cuts due to elevated inflation, that could be sort of problematic. However, the slowing growth could be a catalyst for the Bank of England to potentially consider further rate cuts from here.
Now, as we know, President Trump has spent months attacking the head of the US Federal Reserve on social media and in remarks to reporters, calling Chairman Jerome Powell names like numbskull. And actually, yesterday, we saw the dispute played out in person with the cameras rolling as the two men clashed over the cost of building renovations. It was quite a thing to see.
Yeah, so yesterday we had some interesting headlines with Trump actually paying a visit to Jerome Powell and taking a look at some of the construction. It was actually kind of a crazy video for those who are listening who saw that. It was a very wild video. It actually looked to me like it was almost AI generated. Powell and Trump standing side by side and Trump kind of probing him actually about the spending going on in regards to renovations to the Federal Reserve stuff. And it was almost comical. It looked like a skit. I saw somebody commenting that online. I thought that was a fair point. It looked almost manufactured. But Powell, of course, you could clearly see he was not having any of it. He kind of pushed back on Trump's jabs, citing how much money was being spent where. And, Powell kind of pushed back on it a little bit. But actually what came out of it is that, this morning Trump kind of put out the announcement that he thinks that Powell's going to cut rates, or he thinks that he got the impression that Powell's going to cut rates after speaking with him, which of course was a little bit interesting. If we take a look at the US dollar, it is slightly higher here today. Yields are pretty much unchanged for the most part. So when it comes to, rate cuts, probabilities I don't think have changed too much. The market is still suggesting or forecasting a rate cut coming up in September being the most likely candidate. We do have next week a Fed meeting, or July 31st, we have a Fed meeting, but it is largely expected that the Fed will remain on hold and continue to stay wait and see. Just a side note on central bank stuff, we did hear also from Christine Lagarde, the ECB president. She also kind of put a stake in the number of rate cuts that were expected from here for the ECB, saying that they too are sort of in a wait and see. However, it's a very different scenario. When we look at the Bank of England, who is dealing with a little bit more inflation. We take a look at the U.S., a little bit more inflation. The U.S., of course, the Federal Reserve, very on hold when it comes to rate cuts for a while now, but of course, on the edge of potentially starting that rate cut process. Meanwhile, in Europe, they are well into their rate cut, step by step, going sequentially lower for the last year or so. I believe they've cut like 8 times, and actually this has been a point of drama for Trump and team. They've been really heavy on the, Europe's been cutting rates. Why aren't we cutting rates? Although, of course, it's a little unfair to point and say, hey, they're cutting rates when we have a different situation, a different economy here in the U.S., and differing levels of inflation as well. Another thing that's kind of interesting in regards to some of the headlines today, we did get more confident posts from Trump's outlining that he thinks that deals are pretty much done with most countries and that we are very much expecting that in the coming days to see finalization of things like the European-U.S. trade agreements and various other places. Although he did have something to say specifically about, Canada. He said that Canadians or the Canadian deal has been a little bit more difficult than the rest. And actually outlining that he thinks there's a possibility that you may just get a tariff placed on Canada rather than further negotiations. And so he actually even kind of brushed them off, said that his focus is not on Canada right now and that he has other things. He also pointed that China and the U.S. seem on the fringes of a trade deal as well. So there is a lot of optimism in regards to trade deals. I do think that and suspect that that is why, the S&P 500 is still at all-time high. We're talking about just shy of 6,400 on the SPX, which is, a remarkable return from the lows that we saw in April. Just marking it up here on my own charts, we're up 32% from the April lows, which is a remarkable bounce back in stocks. Not only did we recapture those previous highs, but we have now moved well beyond them, putting in, a half decent return so far year to date now with the follow through that we have seen. We also did get, as we discussed previously in podcast episodes, that we've got Google and Tesla earnings. So, of course, Google came in with much better than expected numbers, reiterated the AI spend, and that was considered very bullish for markets as well. Then we also had Tesla, which missed on some of their numbers, which caused the stock to sink lower, bouncing back just a little bit here today. Finally, we can take a look at gold, which in response to the tariff stuff, right, seems to be moving lower on a bit of a strengthening U.S. dollar. We've had some good labor statistics numbers out of the U.S., which has been a strengthening factor for the dollar, but also this security around, okay, trade deals are on the way, I think is a major positive catalyst for the dollar and for kind of global security, which of course, as we know with gold, tends to thrive on that uncertainty, right? Interestingly, we also have Bitcoin moving lower by almost 3% at the time of recording this, trading at 115,000. So we'll see what happens next with that. Finally, I wanted to also take a look at inflation and just think a little bit through this. When we have inflation numbers kind of remaining at bay in the U.S., I think a large part of it is the hold off in oil prices. We did get a spike in the June month or in the month of June. We saw a big spike in the price of oil. We have seen that kind of normalize and stay steady. I do think that continues as long as that stays at bay to be a positive catalyst for continued cooling inflation.
And finally, Nick, let's look to the week ahead. What stands out for you?
Yeah, Johnny. So when it comes to next week, we are looking at some interesting data. Nothing on Monday of note, but we do have on Tuesday, we have the JOLTS job openings from the U.S., CB consumer confidence. We take a look later in the evening there. We have Australia's CPI numbers coming out, which could be interesting. The RBA has been a little bit more on the hawkish side, so that could give us some information. They are expected to see inflation jump up to 2.2%. Still, relatively low inflation compared to other places. But the RBA staying a little bit more on the defensive currently. So we'll see what we get there. On Wednesday, we get the ADP non-farm employment change number out of the U.S., advanced GDP numbers for the next quarter, which is going to be very, very interesting. And then, of course, we have the Bank of Canada interest rate monetary policy stuff happening on Wednesday as well. And then we get on that July 30th. I need to correct myself here. I said July 31st earlier. It is actually actually July 30th, we get the FOMC rate statement and press conference. We are expecting interest rates to remain unchanged in the United States. We also hear from the Bank of Japan, so very heavy on the central bank stuff next week. On Thursday, we get GDP numbers out of Canada. We get core PCE numbers out of the U.S. And to end out the week, we end with something light. We, of course, have the NFP report out of the U.S. So very, very heavy week. And finally, actually, ISM manufacturing PMI numbers dropping on Friday as well. So that would be August 1st, first Friday of the month. So very busy week ahead.
Nick, thank you very much for your time today. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Johnny. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.